Okay, your job is to ask me if my recorder's on.
Okay.
At least we got through that, and I will try to come up with a... Actually, if we look at it, if you go back, always if something is missing, if you go back a semester, I did this last semester, so if you want the audio, you can just go back a semester, okay? Because it says previous semesters, and you can go back. Okay. So there's the answer. Any questions? So 132,430. Okay. And I might as well remember to take a picture of it. Okay, smart ink. It must be that one. One of these is supposed to make the thing go away. Yep. So now if I look without guessing, clear ink.
I thought that was the one you were pressing anyways.
Huh? I thought that was the one I was pressing too, but apparently it didn't agree with me. Okay, so that goes through the practice exercise, and now I want to look at practice continued. So if you want to click on practice continued, that comes up next. Okay. Working with computers is basically processing data, which it used to be called way back when DP, for data processing. Because the main thing that you do is you process data, okay? If you didn't process data, then it's more like a calculator. But you have to process data. Usually the data is stored on a file or on a table. A table being part of a database like you looked at in Access. Okay, so here I've got a file. And my file is called PayRecord. And I have defined, when I set up the file, these are my fields. Okay, so these are my fields. And in telling you about the table, I'm just writing down, these are my fields. I have an ID number, I have a name, I have a pay per hour, I have regular hours, and I have overtime hours. So if you were in Access and I asked you to set up a table with this, you know how to go in and create a table in Access that would have those five fields. Okay, so I've got those five fields, and then I went in and did the data, and I've ended up with four records on my data. Okay, and those are my four records. So now I'm going to process those four records. Okay, so the first thing I do is I say, read a record. So it reads the first record. Okay, when I say read, it reads the next sequential record. And at the beginning, it reads the first record. Now, notice how I did this. I have a read right after I start. And then I have a loop. And the last thing in my loop, before I go back and read again, before I go back, rather, is a read again. I read, and then I go back. In your book, they call this an initializing read. It's kind of priming the pump. It's getting the things ready so that I have a record to read. So it does the initializing read. All other records are read here. So every other record is read here, but I have an initializing read that reads my first record. Okay? So the initializing read reads the first record and gets me ready. Then I process the first record. After I process the first record, just before I end, I read the next rank. And then I go back. Okay. So, my condition on this one is that I want to do the processing while it's not end of file. Because obviously when it's end of file, I have nothing to process. So I don't want to go back when it's end of file. So I read a record. If by any chance this file was empty, it would be end of file, so it would drop out and stop the program. Okay? But it's not empty, so it read the first record. So it's now got the first record sitting in memory, and it asks, is overtime hours greater than zero? And the answer is yes. Overtime hours is greater than zero. So it says, okay, I'm going to calculate regular pay. Okay? Now, regular pay is not one of these fields. So that means it is setting up a memory variable called regular pay. Okay, it's setting up a memory variable called regular pay. And regular pay is going to hold the result of my calculation, which is pay per hours times regular hours. So it's going to hold 800, right? Pay per hour times regular hours, it's going to hold 800. Okay, so then I go down and say, okay, now I want to do another calculation, and I want to store that in a place called, actually, just get a little bit of room here, called overtime pay. So I've got an overtime pay memory variable, and it's saying, take pay per hour, which is 20, times overtime hours, which is 10, so that gets me up to what?
200.
Right. I was going one ahead. 200, and then multiply it by 1.5?
350.
Well, 300, right?
300, sorry.
300. Okay, so overtime pay is 300. And then I've got total pay, which is also a memory variable, and total pay is going to equal the sum of those two, so it is 1,100, okay? So at that point, I display, so I'm going to have a screen or a paper or what, and I'm going to display 1,100. Now, probably it would have been nicer to display both the name and the pay, and not just display the pay. But my display statement says display the pay, and so I did. Display total pay, so I did. Okay, it probably would have been nicer to write display name, comma, total pay. And then I'd know who it belongs to. Okay? Now, in this one, notice I didn't define the memory variables until I went ahead and used them. It probably would be better to put in a thing here where I define the memory variables. But some languages kind of define them as they go. And so I was doing more of a define them on an as-needed basis. When I knew I needed total pay, it set it up. When I needed regular pay, it set it up. Okay, so I've displayed, and now I'm going to read the next record. So now I'm saying display and read the next record. So now I'm reading the next record. Okay? And at that point, I go back up to the top of the loop. So I go back up here, and I say, do while not end of file. Well, the read was successful, so it wasn't end of file. So now I'm asking, is the overtime hours greater than zero? No, the overtime hours is zero. So that means I take the else, and I figure out total pay, which is regular pay, pay per hour times regular hours. So what is it?
1,000.
1,000. So tope is 1,000, and then I display tope, and then I read another record. So I'm going back and reading the third record. Okay? And then I go up to the top of the loop. Was it end of file? No, the read was successful, so it wasn't end of file. And then I ask, is overtime hours greater than zero? Yes, it is. So that means I will calculate regular pay. And regular pay is pay per hour times regular hours. So what is it? 1,200. So this one, I then assign it. Okay, so notice what happened here. I took this field, multiplied it by this field, pay per hour times regular hours, and then I assigned it to a different field, to regular pay. Okay, so it wiped out what was in regular pay and put this in its place. So it's now got 1,200. And then I said, okay, now overtime pay is going to be pay per hour, which is 25, times overtime hours, which is 20. So what have I got there?
30 times
20. 30, sorry. Yeah. What did I say, 25? I read up. Okay, so it's 30 600. Times 20, which is what?
600.
Wait a minute. Yes, I am at the right place. 600 times 1.5 gets me what?
900.
So overtime pay becomes 900. And then total pay becomes what?
2100.
Okay. And then I read the next record. Okay, so I read the next record. I'm reading this one. Okay, it's got that lovely little thing where it... Actually, this one should have been read. If you follow my habit. Okay, so I read the fourth record. And it's not in the file. And so I go through and say, is overtime hours greater than zero? Yes. So what's the regular pay for Bob?
$1,050.
Pardon me?
$1,050.
I don't know, is it?
Yeah, 30 times 35.
All right, $1,050. And then I say, okay, now what's the overtime pay?
$300, right? Times 1.5.
$450. You're letting her do all the work. Okay, so what's the total pay now?
So 750.
No, 450 plus 1050.
$1,500.
And notice I forgot to write out the 2100. See, computers wouldn't have forgotten that. Okay, so now I display it, 1500. And then I read the next record. Well, at this point, when it reads, it hits the end of file marker. When a file is created, there's an end of file marker put at the end of it. And it hits the end of file marker, so the read isn't successful. So it goes back up to the do while, and the do says do while, not end of file. It is end of file, so it drops out and stops. Okay? So when you're reading a file or a table, that's the usual check, is it's done when you hit end of file. Okay, so when you hit end of file, you've read all the records, it's done, and you drop out. Okay. Questions? I think I'm done with that. Okay. There is a presentation on logical if structures that I would like you to make sure you look at. And we're going to go down here to the in-class logic exercise, which kind of does what is described in that presentation. So I'd like you to look at the presentation on your own, but we're going to more apply it. It gets kind of applied in this particular set of exercises. So here I have a very simple program. It doesn't have a loop in it. It doesn't even have a if statement in it. It just goes down and declares one thing and does a calculation, etc. So I'm starting out, and I've got the flowchart there, and I've got the pseudocode here. And that's two ways of looking at the logic. Is a flowchart and a pseudocode, and they're doing the exact same thing. So first I declare variables, because at this point what I'm doing is I'm going to have a user input information. Okay, so it's not reading a file, the user is importing information. So I'm saying declare the variables that I need, which are ID number, name, paper hour, hours worked, pay after. Now some of these are going to come in to me as input. ID number, name, paper hour, and hours worked are going to come in as input. Pay and pay after are being calculated. Okay? But I'll set up memory variables for them all. So my input is down here, and it's got 11111. That's going to be inputted as ID number. And John Doe is going to be inputted as names. 25 is going to be inputted as pay per hour. And 20 is being inputted as hours worked. So I'm going to take in that data and store it in those memory variables. So once I've taken them in, I can now say, okay, I've got two other memory variables, which are pay and pay after. And those are going to be the results of a calculation. Okay, the other memory variables got filled when somebody entered the data. And it could have been a record they read, but I'm assuming that somebody inputted them at the keyboard. Okay? So now I'm saying, okay, calculate pay, which would make it equal to pay per hour times hours worked. Okay, so that's going to be, pay is going to be 500, right? Okay, pay per hour is 25, hours worked is 20, so that's going to be 500. And then I said, calculate pay after. And what I mean is after you take out all the taxes and all the other things, what have you got left? 80%. So I said, pay after is take pay, multiply it by 0.8, and put it into pay after. So there's my 400. Okay. And then I said, okay, now that you've done that, the output, which is going to go onto a screen or paper or whatever, is going to be ID number, which is 11111, John Doe, and I want pay, so it's going to be 500, and pay after is 400. So that's what I'm outputting, okay? So that's my output. So I simply used this like a calculator, took in the information, did a calculation, and put it back out again. Questions? Okay, the next slide is simply breaking this up. Because if you write a program and you write it all in one great big long line, you run out of paper pretty soon, okay? So lots of times what you do is declare and take in the input and then say, okay, now go do a module. This is a module, or it can also be called a subroutine. Go do the module or subroutine called CalcPay. It can also be called a function. And it can also be called a procedure. So we'll just give you lots of names for it. Okay. So I'm going to go do CalcPay. And in CalcPay, I do the calculations. When it's done, return or end the module, it goes back. So it goes out, does that stuff. When it's done, it comes back. And when it comes back, it puts out the output. Okay. So this works exactly the same way
as the other one did. Okay, I didn't do anything different. I just broke it up a little bit. So this is still going to take in the same things. 1111 John Doe 2520. It's going to do the same calculations, which is going to end up with 500 and 400. And it is going to put out the same output, which is 1111 John Doe 501. So it's just an alternate way of doing it. Questions?
Okay, number three,
we're starting to add an if statement.
And if statements can be yes or no. There's no maybe involved in the if statement. Okay. When you start getting into artificial intelligence, then maybe kicks in, but we're not there. So I've got an if statement. So now I'm still taking in the variables. Okay, I've got a few other things that I'm taking in. I'm still going out and doing calculate pay, and when I'm done, I come back, and I'm still putting out the output. Okay, this time, my input is a little bit different because I've got the ID number, I've got the name, then this S is pay code. So that S is pay code because I'm listing the things in order that I take them in. The next thing is pay per hour. The next thing is hours work. And the next thing is salary. So on this one, if somebody has a code of S, they are a salaried worker, and I take in their salary. If somebody has an H, they're an hourly worker, and I take in their pay per hour and hours worked, but I don't take in a salary. Okay, so you can either be a salaried worker or an hourly worker. So I come in, and for Ann Smith, okay, I take in the input, then I go up to do the subroutine. When I finish, I will come back. So I go up there, and for Ann Smith, an S was entered. So I'm asking, is pay code equal to H? And my answer is no, it was an S. And so I say, okay, then calculate pay, and I take the salary, which was $52,000, I divide by 52, and I come up with the fact that she's going to get $1,000 a week, right? Okay, so I take the 52,000, divide by 52, and I come up with pay at 1,000. So pay is 1,000. And then I drop down and calculate the pay after, which is 80%, so it's 800. So I will write out someplace that I have 11111 Ann Smith, and she made $1,800. Okay? So, now I'm going to run this program again. I don't have a loop, so I'm running it again. And when I run it again, I'm going to look at Linda French. And Linda French has a pay code of H, a pay per hour of 25, and an hour's worked of 40, and a salary of zero. So she is an hourly worker. So when I set her up, the pay code equals H. That's what we typed in. So I come over here and I say calculate pay to be pay per hour, which is 25, times hours worked, which is 40. So what is it?
1,000.
So pay is 1,000, and pay after is 800. And so I would write out 12121 Linda French, 1,800.
Questions? Ask questions if you have them, folks. This stuff is going to come back to haunt you for the rest of the semester. So, ask. Don't let me get away with not explaining it well. That's your job. I didn't coerce anybody into asking a question, okay? We'll move on. Okay, so on this one, I want you to do it, and then we'll do it. Notice what I've got here is I leave the flowchart for the decision with something in message, and I write out the ID number, the message, location, department, and budget. So it's the message that I'm writing out. I'm not actually doing the calculation. So try the first one, the problem five.
How are we supposed to figure out, like, I mean, is it just because it's in the order of, like, the start, the clear variables, so we know, like,
that's right.
ID number is, like, the first 11,
I do,
and then its
right.
message is FR?
Yep.
Okay.
So that's ID number, this is, FR is location.
Okay.
22 is department, and 600,000 is budget. Well, I'm just doing them in the order. And in fact, that's the way it would really work, because it would prompt you to enter the first thing you wanted, and that would be stored as ID number. So whatever you open first would be stored as ID number. Whatever you open second would be stored as location. Whatever you put in third would be department. Whatever you put in fourth would be budget. So come up with what the output would be on this one.
Location is greater than 15? Is that,
location is FR.
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay, so I had
department
it backwards
then. Is greater than 15.
Okay.
Department is the third field.
I had that as message, okay. Department is the third field, yeah.
Yeah.
Pardon me? Yeah, DEPD is department. Okay, so this first number, 1111, is the ID number. FR is the location. 22 is the department.
So what's the message then?
And 6,000 is the budget.
Oh, that's the end. Okay, I see.
If you go through this, it will tell you what the message is, right?
I see what it is now, yeah, okay. But how are we supposed to know that, like, that the message isn't there in order, you know? I don't know. Until
no, I don't
you read
know.
It, you just don't know, really?
Well, I told you that you were reading in, because I was inputting.
Oh, okay, right
ID
there.
ID number, location, department, and budget.
Okay.
And then I want to go and do budget message, which will determine what the message is.
Okay.
So I will leave budget message knowing what the message is.
From the budget message module is message.
Yeah.
And then it's just budget. Like cut.
Yeah, because down here I said, okay, store in a memory variable called message those words.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And in the output I said put out the ID number of the message. So whatever was stored in message.
I mean, you just do
problem 5.
I don't know.
If you want to do problem 6 and 7, go ahead. But I just wanted problem 5.
I may have overthought this.
Oh, no, it was probably me.
Is message literally cut 7%?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay, because I just did the answer. I just wrote cut 7.
I did the actual...
The message is...
Do the math, that makes sense.
The message is exactly what I said the message is.
Okay.
If I wanted to cut 7%, I would have said, wait a minute, quiet please. If I wanted to have message say the result of the calculation, I would have said over here, budget times whatever.
Oh, yeah. So,
and I would have put the calculation there.
Yeah, so it was right
there,
right?
Yeah, you were.
Oh, okay.
So... I am taking in, I'm setting up variables for all of these things, including message. So I have message set up as a variable. Then I come down and I say input. So I take in 1111 is the ID, FR is the location, 22 is the department, 600,000. Okay, let me end my turn, and then you can go back. 600,000 is the budget. So that's what I've taken in, is those four numbers. Then I say, okay, now go do, that rectangle with the parallel bars means go do, the module called budget message. So I come up here and I say, okay, is department greater than 15? No. Yes, rather, it's 22. So 22 is greater than 15, right? So I take the yes. Is budget greater than 50,000? 500,000, rather. Yes. Okay, because it has 600,000. So I say, okay, therefore the message is cut 7%. So the now in message, which is a memory variable, I would now have put cut 7%. That's my message. Then I said, okay, put out the output. So I write 1, 2, 3, 4. That's the ID number. The next thing it asks is for the message. So I say cut 7%. The next thing it asks is for the location. So I say Fall River. The next thing it asks is for the department, and I give it 22. And the next thing it asks is for the budget, and so I give 600,000.
Okay.
Now the module's over, and so I returned, and actually put out the output after I returned.
Okay. So that's the output that I would get. What is the second one going to give me as output?
Oh no, it's going to be ID message 5. 5?
The message on number 6 is going to be what?
Cut 5%.
Cut 5%. Because the department is 19, that's greater than 15. The budget is not greater than 500,000 because 400,000 is not greater. So I get the message cut 5%. So I get the 1212 cut 5% PR 19,400,000. Okay. And what is the last one going to be?
Cut 3%.
Cut 3%, because when I come over with that, department is not greater than 15, department is 14. So since department is 14, I'm going to get the cut 3%. So this one is going to be 2222, cut 3%, New Bedford, 14,300,000. Okay.
Questions? Does it make sense now? Somebody nod their head, please.
Yes.
If I get somebody nod their head, I know at least one person got it. Okay. So now let's take a look at the next set of problems. Okay, so starting here, I'm always putting out, or starting back a ways, I'm always putting out the ID number, the message, the location, the department, the budget. So we're going to take and be lazy. And you're just going to tell me what the message is for each one of these. But know that you would actually put out the ID number, message, location, department, budget, the way we did on the last one. So 8, 9, and 10, go through and figure out what the messages are, and then we'll figure them out. Thank you.
Okay, what are the three messages I'm going to get?
Cut 6%.
Cut 6%.
Cut 3%.
Cut 6%. Cut 3%.
Cut 4%.
Cut 4%. Did everybody get those?
Yes.
You buy onto that? Okay. Now, if you look at these,
I also want to point out one thing. Up here, these two things were in an and relationship. Actually, let me get rid of the notes at this point. These three things on the ones we did before were in an and relationship. This and this had to be true to get this. Okay? If either one of them went true, I got different things. So those are kind of set up as an and. And the two that I'm looking at, the ones that I'm looking at now, are an or relationship between the two conditions. I either want this or this gives me that. If I don't get, when I get down here, okay, I'm sorry. Back with an and. This, if this is true, I get to put this out. If it's not true, I get to ask another question. I have another second chance. If both of those are not true, then I get to put this out. Okay, so it's kind of an or relationship. And we're going to look at those more when we go through some of the examples coming up. Okay, so go through those and tell me what you'd come up with. There's four examples there, 11, 12, 13, and 14. If anybody's not on the attendance sheet, sign it on your way out. We'll talk more about the rules. What we've done this week is much more just learning to follow the flowcharts, figure out the logic yourself, and then we'll look at rules a little bit more on Tuesday.
How are we doing? Some of people that are looking like they're done, so we're going to move on. What is number 11?
Cut
3%. Because right off, the department is not greater than 15. The department is 10. So if the department is not greater than 15, I'm going to cut 3%. Okay, what's number 12?
Cut 7%.
Okay, let's see. It is greater than 15. Different people got different things?
Yeah. Okay.
Let's try it. This is great, the department is 16, so that's greater than 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we come over here. Is the budget greater than 500,000?
No.
No. So we come over here. Is the spent greater than 300,000?
Yes, more than 250,000.
Okay, greater than, sorry. Yeah. Is the spent greater than 250,000?
Yes.
Yes. So I'm getting 5%?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, the next one.
Yeah, 5%.
Okay. So if the department is greater than 15, it is. If the budget is greater, it's not. If the spent is greater, it is. So 5%. And on the last one?
4%.
4%? Okay, so I come in and it's greater than 15 at 23. 400,000, I get a no. 200,000, I get a no. So I'm getting 4%. Right?
Okay. Look at the next slide. Okay, so the next one is getting into using pseudocode as opposed to
using a flowchart. So it's the same thing. I'm saying declare all these variables, then I'm saying input, and I'm inputting ID, location, department, budget, and spent. Okay? And then I'm going to calculate message. So I'm starting out on the first one, and I am saying, is department less than 20? Okay, because my first question is, looking at number 15, is department less than 20?
No.
No. Okay, so I'm taking the else. Is budget greater than 350?
No.
Yes.
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 The budget is greater than 350. So what am I going to put out as my message?
Cut 7%.
7%. Okay? So do 14, do 16 and 17.
Got them done already. That fast?
Okay, number 16. What is it?
5%.
Because right off the bat, okay, I've got a department 14. Is department less than 20? Yes, it is. So it's 5%. And number 17 is what?
6%.
Because, again, department is not less than 20, so I take the else. Is the budget greater than 350? No, it's 200,000. So I take the else, and that gets me the cut 6%. Okay? Okay.
Look at the next ones. Okay, so what do you get for the first one, number 18?
Six.
The first question is department less than 20, is it?
No.
No. So where does it go then?
Six.
Else.
It doesn't have an output?
It doesn't have an else.
What?
What?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so I've got here, is department less than 20? If it is, come over here and ask the question about the budget. And if the answer is yes, I've got the 7%. And if the answer is no, I've got the 6%. And that closes up the end if. And then the next thing I see is the other end if being closed up. So there is nothing for the no.
So that means there will no message will be generated. There won't be any message. Okay? Because I basically don't have an else for that if. Else's connect themselves to the nearest available if. So that else connects there. That end if then connects there. So that's all a unit. This if has an end if, but it doesn't have an else. So if department is not less than 20, it won't do anything because it doesn't have an else. It doesn't have anything to tell it.
And we just know that because the indent is under the if, right?
Right. I mean, but even the indenting is for people.
Okay, yeah.
The computer could care less whether I indent or not. Indenting is for people looking at the program because it makes it easier to follow if it indents for you. Okay, it just makes it easier to follow. So that one meant that no message, okay, there's no message that's going to be generated out of that one for 18.
Okay, so 18 has no message. What's 19 got?
7%.
Okay. Department is less than 20, and the budget is, so what did you say it was?
6%.
What? How did I get that 19?
Because it's less than 20, 14 is less than 20. Budget greater than 350, no.
Oh,
so it's 6%. And what is problem 20?
No output.
No message, right. It would still have output because it would put out still the ID, location, all the rest. It just wouldn't have a message to put out.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got a few more minutes. Go on to the next one. So now I've put an else in for that.
Okay? So notice I now have an else for that question about less than 20. So I've now got an else for it. So if it's less than 20, I have something for it to do. So that means, what's 20, what's number 21 here going to mean?
Cut 5%.
That's right. It's going to have the 5% because it's taking that else for, if the farming is less than 20, it's not. So it's taking the else and doing the cut 5%. What is 22 giving you?
6%.
The 6% that we saw before. And what is problem 3 giving you?
5%.
The 5%, because again, it is taking the else. So this else connects to that if. The end if connects also. That means this else can't have that if because it's already taken. So it has to connect up there. Okay, and if can only have one else. So it has to connect there.
Okay, go on and do the next one.
Okay, when you look at this one off the top of your head, there's only one else involved. Okay? And that else is connecting to this if. The embedded if in the no doesn't have an else, and the outside question doesn't have an else. Okay? So on this one, I'm asking, okay, what is the first one going to be?
7%.
If department is less than 20, and it is, so I go in, and if budget is greater than 350, which it is, I put out cut 7%, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the next one, what do I get?
No message.
And the last one, what do I get?
6%.
Okay, so this is less than 20, it goes in. Is budget greater than no? So I take the else. If spend is greater than yes, I will get it. So I get the 6%.
And if it wasn't, it would be no message again.
It would be no message. Right. If spend wasn't greater than 250, it would be no message.
Okay, we have 2 minutes. Let's do the last one. Because that means you don't have to finish it as homework. And 27 is twice, but in fact, the second 27 is 28, so don't get worried about it.
Okay, this one is the same as the last one, except now I put in else's for everything. Okay, everything has an else. So, this connects here. Okay. And that all does it. This connects there. And this connects there.
So the else goes up and takes the first available. So what is 27 going to be?
4%.
4%. Because is the common less than 20? No, it's not. So I go down to that bottom else, and I've got a 4%. Okay, 28 is what?
5%.
Okay, so let's look at it. Is the common less than 20? Yes, it is. Is budget greater than 350? No, so I take the else. Is spent greater than 250? No, so I take the else. So what did you say it was?
5%.
On the next one, what is it?
6%.
6%? Because its budget is department less? Yes, it is. Is budget greater than? No, so it takes the else. Is spent greater than? Yes, it is. So I've got the 6%. And what's the last one?
5%.
And that's because it's less than 20. Is budget greater than? No, so I take the else. If spend is greater than no, so I take the else, and I get the cut 5%. Did those make sense? Okay.
So, again, on Tuesday, we're going to look at more rules-oriented, and not just learning to read and figure them out, but looking more at structure. So, we are done.
The questions, like the, so I feel